So I was scanning the social media yesterday, looking up some college football stories, getting ready for today. And one of the stories that we have been following has obviously been the development of the University of Miami. The Hurricanes have remembered how to football. And they're footballing relatively well this year. They remain undefeated. Granted, they've gotten what feels like at least a little bit of assistance from the folks at the game that happen to be wearing black stripes and whistles. But regardless of how they got here, the Miami Hurricanes are indeed, ladies and gentlemen, on the inside track to participate in the Atlantic Coast Conference Championship game, likely against your Clemson Tigers coming up at the end of the year. And that means are indeed on an inside track to potentially earn a bye in the first round of the first annual college football playoffs. Well, there was a Miami story that I found yesterday that I wanted to play at least the sound for you today. Some of you that are diehard college football fans, you may remember the name Nevin Shapiro. Nevin Shapiro is one of the big-time University of Miami Hurricane boosters. So big that pre-NIL, you knew if you followed college football with any level above casual enthusiasm, his name. Well, Nevin Shapiro told a story about back in the day when the Miami Hurricanes had a young man by the name of Devin Hester on the program. You may remember Devin Hester. He was not only one of the most prolific kickoff return men in college ball history, he went on to become one of the most prolific kick returners in pro ball history as well. And Nevin Shapiro told an interesting little story about him. Nevin Shapiro, back in 2004, apparently wanted Devin Hester to play. Now let's start with the obvious. He was right. Devin Hester was an absolute dog. But at the time, according to the story, if you believe Nevin Shapiro, Larry Coker, who was at that point and time the head coach of the Miami Hurricanes, was not playing Devin Shapiro as the starting kick returner. And so, according to Nevin Shapiro's story, Nevin Shapiro called Larry Coker and said, "Hey, Larry Coker, it's Nevin Shapiro. You know, the biggest donor on the payroll right now. I would like, please and thank you, Devin Hester to be your starting kick returner." And according to the story, Larry Coker said, "Why the hell am I going to listen to you? You're a booster." And Nevin Shapiro said, "Because if you don't, I shan't be a booster any longer." And according to Nevin Shapiro's story, Nevin Shapiro's conversation with Larry Coker inspired, shall we say, Larry Coker to change his starting lineup. Now, there's two aspects of this story that I wanted to get to. Number one, no wonder Larry Coker didn't work out at the University of Miami. Because if he had Devin Hester on the bench and didn't realize what he had with Devin Hester on the bench, that's not great coaching, Larry. So that makes sense. I'm not upset with a guy who left Miami like 20 years ago. But number two, and I think this is the thing I wanted to lean on. You know how you guys, when NIL became a thing, and I said, I'm actually very pro NIL because I'm pro players finally getting a piece of the pie. And some of you guys went, I don't like this, and I don't like this very much because it makes college football all about the money. It makes college football financially driven for the players. And my response was, hey guys, it's always been that way. This isn't new. This isn't new. Well, here you go. Now, you have two options here. Number one, you can call Nevin Shapiro a dirty, filthy, stinky liar, if you'd like to do so, and say that this story is made up and self-aggrandizing. Or You can believe Nevin Shapiro, infamous booster for the Miami Hurricanes, and come to the realization, as I did many, 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 many moons ago, that it's always been about the money. I want you to think about this. A booster, not a coach, not an athletic director, not an anything. A booster, a guy who's one superpower is that he's rich. Has the ability, or at least in 2004, had
that
the ability.
That works for Batman, right?
I mean, it does. And Iron Man, too. Two people whose superpowers are, I'm very rich. And you will notice, by the way, that in those stories.
Green Arrow, also very rich.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. And you will notice in those stories that one of the themes that is frequently danced upon, great one, is that people with unlimited money should not be allowed to just do whatever the hell they want to do because they have unlimited money. There's a political philosophy out there that wants to do away with fines as punishment for violations of the law. Because if you have the money to pay for a fine as a legal punishment, then everything's legal if you're willing to pay for it, right? Like that's a whole philosophy. The point that I'm making here is college football programs in 2004, you know, way back in the before days when college football was ever so pure and perfect, a guy had the ability to get on the phone and change a head coach's starting lineup just by saying, you want me to scratch a check this month or not, coach? Do you want me to put some money in the coffers? Or is being the head coach and making the decision on the starting lineup more important? It has always been driven by the cash. It's just now the players get a piece of it.
I was going to say, the only thing that's changed is it's more public, at least to a degree. I mean, there's no more behind-the-scenes Nevin Shapiro stuff. Would he have thrived in this day and age? Probably.
Probably, except for the destination of Nevin Shapiro's big old fat, quote, power booster cash would have been either in a completely different direction or at least in some degree a different direction. Now those checks probably are scratching Nevin Shapiro, but pay to the order of quarterback A or linebacker B. As was evidenced in a story yesterday told by Dan Orlovsky. And I'm going to play that for you coming up next. I am Rob Brown. The Great Lonzo's on the ones and twos. The Rob Brown Show continues after this. It is, ladies and gentlemen, The Fan Upstate. I'm going to address the Orlovsky quote that I was telling you about, play you that bite here in just a minute, but I wanted to address a couple of texts that we got during the break. 71307 is the text line. Start your text with FAN, F-A-N, 71307. You can also shoot us a call on the Renewal by Anderson of the Carolinas fan phone at 844-F-A-N-F-O-N-E. That's 844-326-3663. You can also leave a message on the Ray Memorial hotline. Go to the Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Put it on all your digital devices. Go to the Fan Upstate page and click on the microphone button. You can leave up to a 60-second voice note that will come directly to the great one and I. It's the Ray Memorial Hotline, only available on the Odyssey app. Got a couple of texts that said, Rob, I am sure there is way more details to the story that got left out. Probably explained he's a good player, watch the tape, blah, blah, blah. Probably said, well, fine, I'll give him a shot, and he's not good. Then he's benched. Definitely way more to that story. And listen, do I think that the conversation went, hey, coach, play Devin Hester or I'm cutting off the funding? No. Do I think Nevin Shapiro has a reason to tell a fib about a story that happened two decades ago? And also, by the way, the timing of what happened that year lines up with what his story was? I mean, only if he, and don't get me wrong, I think Nevin Shapiro is a giant egomaniac. The only reason you know the name of one booster from one program back in 2004 is because of that. Sure. I don't dispute this story. It may not have happened exactly the way Nevin Shapiro says that it happened, but I'd be willing to bet the details are pretty spot on. Okay, I'd be willing to bet this happened. And for the record, I would be willing to bet this happens at or happened at a lot more schools than just Miami with just Nevin Shapiro. Every school has got power boosters. Boosters that don't donate so damn much to the program that they probably absolutely do have direct access to the head coach of the program. I just don't know how many schools, and I'm sure, again, it's more than just Miami, have had a booster that is at so much money and so much power within the program that they're able to convince the head coach to make a personnel decision. That to me is just an illustration of the fact that the game is no different. It's just players can benefit from it now. Now, some of y'all take that and you get angry at the players. And it's understandable. I want you to listen to this quote, this story that Dan Orlovsky told yesterday. And then we'll address that next. So, according to Orlovsky, he was told by a college football coach that the day before a spring game, a player walked in, said, "I got offered this much in NIL from another school. Pay it or I'm out." And the coach said, "All right, dog, see ya." Okay. Okay. And there were a lot of people that were fired up. "Oh, I can't believe this is happening. I can't believe this is allowed, yada, yada, yada." Not only can I, because I don't care who you give the power to. If someone has the opportunity to make a decision like that, you can't be shocked that they're going to make that decision. Okay? If I walk into my boss when my contract comes up and I go to my boss, I have the right to say, "Hey, boss man, I feel like I've done a good enough job and I am valuable enough to you that I should get X more dollars a year." And then the boss has the right to say, "You're right, I agree." Or, "I agree you should get more, but not that much. Here's my counter offer." Or, "Hey, Rob Brown, why don't you go yourself and find a new place to work?" And I get to make a decision on how I react to that, and he gets to make a decision on how he reacts to that until both of us are satisfied with the outcome and we go our separate ways or we come to an agreement to keep me here, right? The same is true for these kids now. This kid made a decision. "This is what I believe my value to be. And you can either give me that much to stay here and participate and add that value to your program, or I got another place that will give me that much. And I'm going to go there." And that is the coach's right to say, "Yeah, no, we ain't doing this. I ain't playing this game with you. Goodbye. Don't let the door hit you in the rear on the way out. Hasta luego, muchacho." Or to say, "You know what? You are valuable enough to my team that I am willing to put up with this attitude. I'm going to go make a phone call right now. I'm going to go make a phone call right now, and we're going to find that NIL money to keep you here." It's the coach's right to respond to that player, just like it's the player's right to make that claim, to make that demand. And I will simply tell you that if I am a coach, and I know that it's very easy to sit here on this microphone and say, "Well, if I was a head coach, this is what I'd do." But if I was a head coach, this is what I'd do. I would address every one of those demands based on what I believe that player adds to my program. Now, what he adds to the program is a hell of a lot deeper than how many yards can you throw for or receive or run for? How many pancake blocks do you get? How many TFLs do you get? How many sacks do you get? How many interceptions do you get a year? It is also, what do you bring to the table in terms of locker room leadership? What do you bring to the table in terms of practice leadership? What do you bring to the table in terms of representation of the program in public? What do you bring to the table in terms of your face being out there promoting the school, right? And for some players, and this is true of every job everywhere, every single one of you has had at least one job where you have worked with a coworker who is allowed to get away with a hell of a lot more than other coworkers because the bosses, whether it was a correct evaluation or not, evaluated the value that that person added to that business to be more than the value that the other coworkers added to the business. Now, they may be wrong as to why they feel that way. They may be wrong to that being true. It's irrelevant. The person making the decision, the person stroking the check, can look at an employee and go, this is what I believe your value to this company is X, and therefore I am willing to come off of X. And it's not just dollar amounts. It might be what they're allowed to get away with. I promise you, and I'm not saying this is a negative, I recognize how reality works. I promise you there are other hosts in this cluster that are allowed to get away with more on and off the air than I am. Why? Because the amount of revenue that they bring to this station is just bigger than mine. And that's okay. That's how the game works, all right? The same is true of football players, and the same is true of plumbers and electricians and cops and firefighters. Some guys, some gals are allowed to get away with more because the person who strokes the checks believe their value is more. Nothing has changed. This isn't new. It's just now that money is one of those variables. I promise you there have been football players in the past. He's been in the news, and he's the first example that came to my brain. I promise you, on the 2013 Florida State University Seminole roster, a national championship winning roster, I promise you that there were players on that roster that had they gone into the library on campus and stood on top of a table and shouted the thing that Jameis Winston shouted in a library at the top of his lungs. I promise you that if there are players on that roster that had they done that, they would not have stepped foot in that locker room again. They would have been off that team immediately. And they would have been off that team for any variety of reasons. Maybe it's because Jimbo Fisher, the head coach at the time, wanted to virtue signal that, hey, we're actually a really good program that has class and ethics. And therefore, we're not going to let this kid play. But see, Jameis Winston was on his way to making a run at a natty and a Heisman Trophy that year. So the rules were a little bit more lenient. Just like had they played in the NIL days and Jameis went to Jimbo and said, yo, coach, if I'm going to stay here and quarterback this team, I need $500,000 in NIL money. The likelihood that Jimbo Fisher would have picked up the phone and started making calls to boosters that day versus he would have done the same thing had the backup left tackle had come to him and said, coach, I need $50,000 to stay on this team. It's pretty much a given, right? It's pretty much a given. It's pretty much a guarantee. So nothing has changed is the point that I'm making here. Once again, because I still to this day pop on social media or start watching the broadcast of whatever college football themed show happens to be on Thursday nights or Saturday mornings or whatever. And I hear and I see people going, well, you know, the game is just operated differently than it had. No, it's really not. It's really not. It's just that now we're talking about money instead of other things. Now we're talking about when we say value to a team, sometimes that literally means dollar amounts. And this coach decided to handle this situation, whoever it was and whatever the player was, whatever position they played. This coach in that moment decided that that player ain't worth the hassle. That coach decided in that moment, yeah, you're not here anymore. You don't play here anymore. Go do what you got to do. And they have, just like that player, had the right to go in and say, I got this much of an offer from school X. I need you to match it for me to stay. He had the right to make that demand, and the coach had the right to say, get the hell off my football program. Get out of here. If that matters more to you, then get gone. Guys, the power is not on an unequal dynamic here. If you don't want that kid there, if the value he asked for is not worth the value you believe he brings to the team, then tell him kick rocks. The coach has that power. I don't understand how this is still a thing that people are griping about. Tell them kick rocks and find a kid who fills that position in a way that you believe that the value of crap you have to put up with matches or exceeds the value or is exceeded by the value that he brings to the football field. This isn't complicated. It's not.
I can't believe that kid demanded that.
Then tell him get the hell out. It's not that hard. It's really not. All right. Third hour of the show. Got a few more things I want to get into. Dale Earnhardt Jr. told a story on a podcast that I wanted to address for a particular reason. We'll do that coming up. It is a NASCAR guy with a story that spills over into the world of sports and more. That's all coming up after Lonzo just rocks your socks. I don't like that phrase. I don't know why it bugs me.
Yeah, because it someone else uses.
No, it's not because of that. I've always had a problem with it. It's just a weird phrase. Like, I've never been in a situation where I'm so stunned, shocked, or amazed by a situation that I went, I have to take my socks off right now, you know?
Well, it supposedly knocks your socks off. I mean, so...
Has anybody ever hit it? Knock your shoes off would make sense, right? Has anybody ever gotten hit so hard that their socks come off? Like, your shoes, sure. Happens all the time. But your socks... You need new socks. Your socks are old if they're that
maybe
loose.
Maybe if you got maybe a train. I mean, that could hit
even
you
still,
hard enough.
Are your socks so loose?
Yeah, I don't think your socks come off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They will after Lonzo reads this Sports Flash.
Don't do that, man. Your feet stink. Week 8 of the NFL season came to a close last night with a 26-18 Pittsburgh victory over the Giants. Steelers quarterback Russell Wilson went 20-28 for 278 yards and a touchdown, and Najee Harris ran for 114 yards. Controversial call kept George Pickens off the scoreboard as a catch in the end zone was ruled incomplete when his right foot touched the ground twice, but his left foot did not, which is, it's not a controversy, it's just a rule. The Carolina Hurricanes defeated the Vancouver Canucks 4-3 last night in overtime. Sebastian Aho, Will Carrier, Martin Nekas, and Jack Roslovic had goals in the victory. With a 4-2 victory in the Game 3, the LA Dodgers are now one win away from claiming a World Series title. You can check that out, possibly the elimination game, possibly the end of the World Series tonight at 8:08. Tune in this Friday at 7 o'clock as Burns takes on Bowling Springs right here on The Fan Upstate.